Now, our theme today, that last song that we sang, our liturgy, the other readings, they all come from one place, the theme of faithfulness. Actually, the word faithfulness is the same word whether it's translated as faith or faithful. It's all kind of the same thing. And faithfulness is an attribute of God. God embodies the entirety of what we think of when we think of faithfulness. It's like when we say God is love, God embodies love, or God is holiness, or God embodies goodness. He exemplifies, he is the full measure of faithfulness. In the Hebrew, looks like this, emun, which of course means faith, faithful, trustworthy. In the Greek, you would see it this way, pistis, meaning trust, confidence. Things like fidelity, dependability. And one way to say it as it relates to our Christian understanding of our God is that our faith in the faithfulness of God enables us to be faithful to Him and to others. We don't want to forget about that. Faith allows us to have the relationships that are based on God's stability, His dependability, His unchanging. And we are assured all throughout Scripture this core truth of our triune God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he tells us that our Lord is a faithful creator. We see it in the constancy of nature, the things that are revolving, galaxies spinning, all of those things. In Psalm 119, we hear that God is in all faithfulness, not just faithfulness, but all faithfulness. He keeps all of His word, all of His promises. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells those Christians that God is faithful. He's faithful in calling us to be in fellowship with one another and ultimately in fellowship in our salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, this wonderful news that irregardless of how we act and react to God, He always remains faithful. We may fail, God never will. 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, which we do at every service, which we did just a little while ago, He is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful in His forgiveness based on what His Son, Jesus Christ, did here on the earth for us in His life, death, and resurrection. And if you were paying attention to our Old Testament lesson for today, it kind of summarizes it all, and interestingly, it comes from Lamentations. You don't always think of wonderful good news coming from the book of Lamentations, but there it is. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, His mercy never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness, along with our last hymn as well. So you and I, as Christians, we can probably come to a high level of consent when we think of the idea of faithfulness, and we say, yeah, our God is or embodies faithfulness. But what about when you turn it around and you ask that question, the second part of my sermon title asks, God is faithful, yep, am I? You might be thinking, oh, Pastor Dan, why did you have to go and ask that question? It's summer. We're supposed to be relaxing. I don't want to think about hard issues like that. It makes me uncomfortable when you ask questions like that. Or maybe a lot of us might be thinking, well, of course I'm faithful. I'm here, aren't I? Yeah, friends, for centuries, the church has used the same basic model to serve Christian churches all around the world, where there is a passion for Christ and a passion for serving Him, where relationships exist between God and His people. This is where families and church communities spring up, and often what results is a building like we have, a congregation of folks like we have here in Hopkins. You know, this started way back in 1903, where the founding families of Hopkins got together in their homes. And eventually, 12 years later, the congregation was formally created. They called their first pastor. They bought their first home, $600 or maybe $700 for this first building over on 12th Avenue. Got to point in the right direction here. So this was the first Zion Lutheran Church. Not much around it at that time, right? That's right in the middle of downtown Hopkins now. And soon extended family, neighbors, and friends were invited, and Zion grew and expanded. They built this building in 1950. They expanded even more, sent missionaries overseas. Soon the communities around us caught our passion for our Creator God. And so Zion planted four daughter congregations. Did you know that? We planted four congregations. Our Savior and Excelsior, if I have my directions right, Bethlehem and Fairview in Minnetonka, St. Luke's and St. Louis Park. And we peaked at 2,200 members, and get this, 620 students in Sunday school. I have no idea where we put all those kids. But that's wonderful. And God was faithful to Zion throughout this growth and expansion. And Zion remained faithful in seeking the lost, in sharing the gospel, in sending disciples of Christ's church out both near and far. I now fast forward to June of 2020 as we sit here this morning. And half of our daughter congregations no longer exist. You probably knew about St. Luke's, but this early spring, Fairview also shuttered its doors. It is no longer a congregation either. Churches all around us, no matter what type, they're struggling. And we see ours and our surrounding communities hurting because the pain and hurt and suffering of folks just keeps overflowing into life. There's something missing in so many lives of our people today. My friend Zion, we're hanging in there. But you know what? Our heads are just a little bit grayer. Our volunteers are busier, and our members are coming from further away than they ever have before, from where our daughter and sister congregations have failed or are failing now. Yeah, of course, we have folks here from Hopkins and St. Louis Park in Minnetonka, but look where else we have, and this is kind of hard to see, I understand. As far away from the north as New Hope and Plymouth, there may be further away. These are the ones I know of. Lakeville, Apple Valley, Savage, Chaska, Norwood, Young America, my brother comes from there, Eden Prairie, and then out to the west, Excelsior and Minnetrista. And that's wonderful. That diversity we have of people coming from so far away, it's wonderful, and I'm glad that you're coming. I'm glad that each and every one of you is here and plugged into Zion. But on the other hand, how can this model that we have of a church planted in a community, how can it work to serve this broad geographic area? How can we minister effectively to the folks throughout the Southwest Suburban Metro area? How much can we reach the hurting and the lost in meaningful ways? How can we share that much-needed message of hope and healing that is available for free to everyone who believes? And I know, I'm not asking any questions that aren't new. Christians for 2,000 years have been asking these same questions. How are we going to effectively share the gospel of Jesus? So let me pause here. Let me go back for a moment to my sermon title. Faithfulness. God is, am I? Well, to be honest, when I began this ministry journey God has had me on back in 2009, I had no idea that I was going to be serving in such a challenging time. Friends, the world has gone bonkers. You realize that, right? Christians are leaving the Christian church in record numbers. Our young kids are having to deal with things that I never would have imagined. Our older kids are part of the biggest mental health crisis that we've ever had. Am I faithful? I want to say yes. But my passion for Jesus doesn't always show as brightly as it should. I often will allow the bad news of the day to keep me from the joy that I should have. I let opportunities go by. I don't always stand up and challenge the ideas and opinions that are against clear biblical values. Am I faithful to my faithful God? I want to be. I try to be. And some of you have nodded, but maybe there's others that are kind of nodding internally. I'm with you, Pastor Dan. I know what you're saying. Well, maybe those of you who are nodding along with me, maybe we can together take our less than stellar faithfulness and do something different. Maybe we can make a change to the way that Zion Lutheran Church touches the lives that so need to be touched. Here we go again, Pastor Dan. You've made me uncomfortable with your sermon title, and now you're asking us to change? This is Zion Lutheran Church. We don't do that around here. But how are we doing? How is our community doing? And don't get me wrong, there are places around the world where the message of Jesus is getting spread like crazy. But how are we doing? Well, friends, today I want to share with you two critical statements about Zion Lutheran Church. You say, about Zion Lutheran Church? Two critical statements? Well, just bear with me. The first statement that I'm going to share with you, we all pretty much know if we've hung around church for any amount of time, comes from the end of Matthew. We call it the Great Commission. I'm going to start two verses below the one that we know so well. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I'm going to pause here a moment, because something struck me as I was reading this passage the other day. I don't remember that last phrase being there before. So this is post-resurrection. Jesus has met with the disciples, appeared before them, and he said, go and meet me, and I will tell you and give you further instructions. So the disciples went, they saw Jesus, they experienced him, they even worshiped him, but what does it say next? Some of his closest followers, his friends, as he had called them just a few days before, they doubted. They were fearful about what was going to happen next. They didn't really understand what was going on. But what did Jesus do? Right away, he reassures them. He explains in a very clear manner how they are going to be equipped to do what he's going to ask them to do. We're all, since we know this next portion, we're going to recite this together, because it's important that we understand that it's not only the 11 disciples that were with Jesus that he's talking to, he's talking to us as well. So together. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is telling us that our fear and our doubt can be replaced with his faithfulness. He says, I have authority. I am going to be with you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to be upon you. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to doubt. Now, the second thing I want to show you is Zion's vision and mission statement. Those of you in leadership positions have seen this before, but if you haven't been to a leadership meeting lately, this is something that we recite before the meeting to kind of center ourselves, to remind us what we're doing. And if you ever want to see it in print, right over here by this door as you exit the sanctuary. So read it on your way out. So together we're going to read this. To be an outreach center for Christ-centered health and wholeness, to develop and encourage personal relationships with Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty appropriate, right? At the Great Commission telling us to do it, and here is what Zion is going to do based on Jesus' command. But I want to point out next a few words and phrases that you're not going to find in either one of these critical statements. Words like easy or comfortable. It's not always going to be quick or cheap. It's certainly not going to be risk-free. Now, for over a century, Zion has been so blessed to be able to share the news of Jesus out to the communities, to share our love of him, to educate, to see new relationships blossom, to reach into those lives that so need to hear that message of love. And you have all been part of this. If you take nothing else away today, listen to my words here. You have been faithful. So my question at the beginning, am I faithful? The answer is yes. We have all been faithful. that's not to say there isn't more that we could do. Because I believe that there is more that we can be doing than to simply keep our spending down and shrink our budget each year. To see our pool of volunteers get smaller and see our numbers in worship, well, today we've got a lot of folks, but generally our numbers in worship are coming down. And all of these numbers, all of these dollar signs, statistics and trends, all of those things, they tell a story. And the story they tell that I'm looking at is the story of a church in survival mode. But friends, the Christian church has no place being in survival mode, because we have the untapped power of the creator of the universe at our disposal 24/7, 365, as the commercials would say. Behold, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age, Jesus said. And the question becomes, do we believe that? Does Jesus mean that for me and my life? Does he mean that for my church community? Is God faithful? And of course, we understand the practical and pragmatic considerations are very real. And the leadership of the congregation has to evaluate these things. The dollar signs, the smaller numbers, even the graying hair comes into it. The number of funerals versus the number of baptisms. And we don't go into any change with our eyes closed, because blind faith is no faith at all. We also understand that we're not remaking the wheel here. We have a model that has worked for centuries. We know that God has been faithful in granting you to Zion Lutheran Church. You are our most valuable and effective resource. But we have to take what God has been doing to be faithful to us, all of us, and we need to do more. We need to use our resources effectively. We have a beautiful building and grounds that are so well tended by Rick and the trustees. They do a great job. We're in a perfect location, aren't we, with Burns Park right here? Everybody that knows this area knows Zion Lutheran Church is here. And we know from the fact that when new people come, they say, well, how did you find us? Well, we either drove by, or most recently, we watched a live stream, or we looked at your website. We were kind of intrigued, so we came in. You know, research shows that church shoppers, they don't step foot in the door of a church until they've done their homework online. Maybe ask some visitors if you see some. Maybe there's here some here today and you could ask that question to, but I'm not going to point them out. The reason your church leadership has done the things that they've done recently, and the technology, and also forming the new multimedia specialist position, is so that we can take advantage of the things that people are doing to find a church home, to be able to join and be engaged in Jesus' love to the community. This new individual, this full-time ministry position, is going to be improving and expanding what we have been doing today, and hopefully equip us to do what we want to do tomorrow. This new position is going to be absolutely critical for letting us communicate and teach and share our ministries in ways that we only are start envisioning today. We're just starting to imagine what we can do. And the very next step your pastors and leadership and staff are taking is we are going to reintroduce the modern worship service. And I know many folks are looking forward to that. It's been on hold during this time of COVID as we've tried to figure out how we're going to find an effective leader to energize it and organize it. How to tackle the technical challenge that a bunch of people up here doing a worship service is going to have for audio and video. What's it going to look like? What's it going to sound like? Been looking for the personnel to re-engage so that we can bring this service back. So we're going to find, somehow, a new modern worship leader. We're going to refill those worship band slots that have been empty for so long, and we are going to make a small change. Settle down, just a small change. 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings will be the new time. 10:50, never quite fit. So 11 o'clock Sunday mornings, hopefully in the fall. Now, we recognize that multiple worship service styles and an inviting online presence, those things by themselves are not going to make us effective in reaching those in our community that we need to reach. It's going to take the hands and feet of Jesus. That's all of us, every one of us. And we're going to need to do maybe some hard things and uncomfortable things. We're going to need to reimagine how we do things, consolidate some ministries, strengthen others, continue to join and maybe join with new organizations and other churches and pool our resources in ways that we haven't done before. And we always must do this with an eye to the community. Because if this congregation is not serving the community in real and relevant ways, the community is not going to follow us. They are not going to come with us on this faith journey. So to thrive in the long term, we have to find a way to reach out into our wide and diverse community with a message that brings, most of all, hope. That's the first thing we need to bring out. Because the cycle of hurt and violence in our cities, it's not going to end until we have an effective way for the Christian church to reach out into those communities with people that they trust and people that they know in a way that they understand. And we are not equipped by ourselves to do all of that. Remember, I said we're not going to remake the wheel here. We have Jesus as our model. Remember what Jesus did in our passage from Mark chapter 5? Jairus came to Jesus and said, "My little daughter is to the point of death. Come and lay hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And Jesus didn't say, "Well, we've got a good live stream thing going on YouTube. Go check that out. Or on Wednesday evenings, that might be a better time to do things like that." No, Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? Jesus went with him. So when we say we are the hands and feet of Jesus, what do we need to do? We need to go with them. Friends, it's no longer enough to simply open our doors and ring the bells. Because we know that we are one of many options of things to do in this hour on a Sunday morning. Our world feeds us so many so-called fulfilling things that we could be doing instead of sitting in here. But don't you and I know better? Don't we have something better, something lasting, something eternity-changing in the hearts and minds of folks that are living real close to us? What should we do about it? Wrapping things up. To be sure, I understand the need that almost all of you have who are here this morning, who are watching online, the need that we have for fellowship, to be fed spiritually. We need this social time. We need this fellowship time. We need that side of our faith to invigorate the spiritual side of our faith. And then we need to take what we learn and know and experience and take that out into the world. We need to apply those things in our lives just as Jesus commanded us to do. That means we need to answer when a leadership opportunity comes up. We maybe even need to be okay with being uncomfortable for a little while. We need to step out of these doors this morning and find one life to touch with Jesus during this coming week. Has God been faithful to you in your personal life? Won't he be faithful to us as we try to do endeavors that will satisfy his commission to us? To reach the lost, to spread the gospel. Friends, we know that God is or embodies faithfulness. And we are also faithful. Because it's your faith that allows you to be faithful in doing what he has asked of you. And I ask that this be the case. That things would take root in your heart and in your mind today and be thinking about how to do things. I ask this in Jesus' strong, faithful, generous, empowering name. Amen.